Proverbs chapter 5. Last week we started Proverbs 5 and we went through, I think, about verse 4 or 5 maybe. Let me read those first five verses. Chapter 5 is talking about, it's a warning primarily to young men about being on guard against what the scripture calls a strange woman, about being pure and being on guard for temptations that will come. Some temptations come just as a way of life, and some are intentional, as from this woman that we read about in chapter 5. So the first five verses say, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow down thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell." And so here that the lips here, smoother than oil, and slick talk. And so these verses, you know, whether or not we'll want to apply them to some of the current events or not, you know, they come up, and I put those three of these verses on Facebook last week and had some positive and negative comments about just quoting the verses. And I didn't put any names, I didn't put anything with it, but I guess you kind of figure, you know, with what's going on, it's not as bad as what I put a message on the sign out front. This has been years ago. You'll know how long ago when I mentioned former president's name. I put a sign, a message out, and it had something to do about lying. I don't remember what it was. Lying is abomination to God or something. And some woman called me and told me that I should not be putting signs up like that about our president. And I said, "It didn't say anything about President Clinton up there." And she says, "Everybody knows who you're talking about." And I thought to myself, "Well, if the shoe fits, then wear it." You know. And so I got a kick out of that when she thought I was talking about Clinton, but it certainly did apply at that particular time too. So then verse 6, he says, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." And so we know in Proverbs it talks about this particular type of woman, but we also know that Proverbs ends with chapter 31, where it talks about the virtuous woman. And so when we look at that, and the Bible talks about evil men, he's not saying all men are evil. And when he talks about the strange woman, he's not saying that all women are strange. You know, there's the godly, virtuous woman as well. But this one in verse 6, he says, this kind of woman, he says, ponder the path of life there. And that word has to do with making calculations. And so whenever you make your calculations, you're going to determine, okay, what are going to be some of the consequences about going in the path of this. So with your calculations, you have to do some figuring. But with this particular kind of woman, he says, you can't figure her out. That's what it says in verse 6. It says her ways are movable. And so the godly woman's life, they're not movable. Her ways are consistent. And that's what we read on the godly woman in Proverbs chapter 31, you know, about being predictable. That's not a bad thing. Somebody who is predictable, that means you know what kind of character they have, and you can tell what that he or she is going to do because they're a person of character and they're going to make those right decisions. But somebody who is wishy-washy, you know, they're going to go whichever way the wind is blowing. They're movable. And so the warning is here to this strange woman, her ways are movable. You can't not know them there. When the Bible in the book of James is talking about an unstable man, he says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And here he talks about this woman being unstable. She's movable. You never figure her out there. You'll never know what she's up to, because her lips are smoother than oil. You won't know her motives. You won't know what she's trying to do. And so he's giving a warning for this particular kind of woman there. Now, verse 7, he says, "Hear me now. Hear me now." So here's a stern warning here to pay attention. He says, "O you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth." And so the warning, as you'll see in the next verse, he continues to thought about this strange woman that's mentioned previously. Verse 8, he says, "Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house." There. And so he says, don't get anywhere near her, because her ways are movable, and she's going to entice, she's going to accuse, she's going to destroy, she's going to do all she can. So you better stay away from that particular kind of woman. When you look at this particular kind of woman in this chapter and a couple of other chapters in Proverbs as well, and then you look at the one of Proverbs 31, boy, it's a wonderful contrast, isn't it, there? And it's so refreshing. That's why he says, who can find a virtuous woman there? And thank God for those. Now, he goes on in verse 9, after he gives the warning in verse 8, remove thy way far from her. Don't get anywhere close. Verse 9, lest thou give thine honor unto others there. And so whenever the honor is given to others, you know, we could name some names, and maybe if I name a few names, Jim Baker, giving your honor to others, Jimmy Swaggart, what about Governor Mark Sanford, you know? And we could name some more. And the honor is given away. People in positions of honor, and they've given it away there. And sometimes it's not all the strange woman's fault. It's the man's can be to blame as well. But there's a warning here. He says, remove your way far from her, lest you give your honor to others and thy years unto the cruel there. Hold your place there and look at Proverbs 11. What is the opposite of cruel? Sometimes we can understand a lot of words in the scriptures when we look at the opposites there. And in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17, it says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul." But here's the opposite, the contrast. "He that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." So the opposite of being cruel is showing mercy. Not showing mercy is being cruel. And if a person doesn't show mercy to other people, he's being cruel. Especially if I have received the mercy of God to forgive me for all the wrong I've ever done, and I don't show mercy to somebody who's done me wrong, then that's being cruel there. And so going back to chapter 5, he says, be on your guard, stay far from her, you'll lose your honor, and there won't be any mercy. Verse 10, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. So not only are you going to lose your honor, you're going to lose your money as well. And everything you've worked for, verse 10, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. So you're going to lose your honor, you're going to lose your wealth, you're going to lose everything you've worked. You've given your whole life to labor and work and gain honor and position and respect. And it only takes this strange woman to destroy a person's life, like Samson there, even the strong. And so there's a warning given to the young men concerning this. Now, verse 11, and after you've lost your honor and your wealth and your labor, verse 11 says, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Your flesh and your body. Those two things are mentioned. So God has given a warning here, and God is telling us that there are some lifestyles, or as sometimes he has called them, more like death styles than lifestyles, where the body and the flesh is harmed because of sins. And so here he talks about the flesh and the body are consumed there. You think about the sin of homosexuality, you think about AIDS and those kinds of things, where the body and the flesh is destroyed there. And God gives these warnings about those things and warnings about the strange woman. And we're wise when we take heed to God's warnings. Warnings aren't intended to be mean. Warnings are intended to be merciful, to let us know of the dangers that are there. Now, verse 12, he says, the body and soul, the body and flesh are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Instruction and reproof in this verse has to do with the positive aspect and the negative aspects of instruction. The instruction word that is here has to do with the words of teaching, but the reproof has to do with sometimes the punishment, the discipline that goes along with the instruction as well. And so here it says, how I have hated instruction. If there's something that you hate, then you usually do everything within your power to avoid it. And if there's something that you love, you do everything within your power to be around that person or that thing as much as possible. And so here he says, I have hated instruction. So the fool avoids instruction. God gives them warning about what's going to happen to the body and the flesh, what's going to happen to your honor and to your money and to your labor if you go with the wrong kind of woman, if you get involved with the wrong crowd. God warns us of all those things, but people that hate instruction, they don't listen. Then he goes on to say, not only have I hated instruction, my heart despised reproof. And that word despise has to do with to mock. And the blaspheme. So God gives instruction in his word about ways that are right. He talks about marriage, and marriage is honorable, the scripture says. And then he gives us warnings about what happens if a person that is married gets involved with a strange woman or a strange man. He gives warnings about those things. But people that despise that, they mock it. And they say, well, that's your way of thinking, but I think this is, and they start just making fun of what God says, and there's great danger. Now we come on to the next verse, verse 14, I'm sorry, 13. He says, and I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, the voice of my teachers. We have a lot of teachers. We have parents that teach us. We have Sunday school teachers. We have elders in the church that teach us. We have the reproof of God that teaches us that whenever the body and the flesh is consumed and you see the consequences of sin all around us, we ought to look at that and say, I don't want to go that path. And it ought to teach us. And here he says, my teachers, verse 13, I did not obey the voice of my teachers, nor incline my ear to them that instructed me. Verse 1, we saw that last week. It says, bow down thine ear. And this is the same phrase here. Incline the ear. Bend the ear. Be ready to hear and listen to the words of instruction that God gives and to the actions of reproof that God gives. Because all of those things that God does are like a grandma's paddle. You've seen grandma's paddle, It has the pillow on it, for spanking the kids there. That's the way God spanks us with his loving hand there. And we're wise when we listen to that. Verse 14 says, I was almost in all evil there. And that's where Satan likes to get us, doesn't it? He likes to get us almost there, because when a person is almost in all evil, he's not that far away. And so Satan likes to get people to kind of dabble in sin a little bit, and this is just one time, or this is not going to hurt. And that almost becomes all evil there. And so mark those words there. So just a little bit of evil can put you in all evil. Verse 15, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well, that thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of water in the streets. And here what he's talking about, as you probably know, he's talking about a wife and children. When he talks about the cistern here, drink waters out of your own cistern. When you look at the context here and what we've seen before and what we see a little bit later when he talks about rejoice with the wife of your youth, there the cistern was the most valuable thing. If they had a well, they used the term in verse 15, running water, and running waters out of thine own well. Running water for them is not the same thing as running water for us. I mean, they were glad to be able to have a well in the yard where they could go outside. My grandma used to have one of those, and she had that pump out there, and we'd go, and both of my grandmas did. They would go to that well, and that was nice. Now we just turn on the spigot. But how much do we value water? Well, when that hurricane threat came and you saw pictures of the shelves at all the stores, hard to find. Why? Everybody put a high value on water, didn't they? And that's what he says here about the wife. He says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, the running waters out of thine own well, because the value. The scripture says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Now he starts talking about the children in verse 16. He says, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. And so now just plenty of children. God is blessed. You have this godly woman that God has given to you, and she is as valuable to you as water. And water is essential for life. But then in verse 17, notice as he continues his thought, he says, let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let them who? Let them the children there. And so here he's talking about fidelity in marriage. He's saying that you have your children, plenty of them, from the wife of your youth that's mentioned a little bit later, but you don't have fountains flowing through the streets from every strange woman in town. It's basically what he's saying here. You don't have plenty of children from all the other women there. Let them be thine only and not strangers with thee. Verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. She's your fountain, husbands there, and valuable as a well. And the children are just fountains flowing through the streets there. And so the wife is put on a pedestal, that we should love our wives. And then he goes on in verse 19, and he says that we're to be ravished always with her love. That word ravished in verse 19 is a word that means to wander or to stagger. And sometimes in our language we have phrases like being lost in love or being drunk with love. And that's the idea of being ravished with love. Not with the strange women around, but with the wife of your youth. And notice what he says there a little bit later, to rejoice with the wife of your youth there in verse 18. Rejoice. He doesn't say to endure, you know, or to just make it through until death do we part. Unfortunately, in today's society, it's more like until debt and do we part, you know, and get over their heads in debt and part there. And so, but the wife of the youth and the children is an honoring thing to God. So we ask a question in verse 20, but he doesn't answer it. He says, why? why wilt thou, my son, be ravished, there's that word again, with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? And the reason there's not an answer is because there's not a reasonable answer. It doesn't make sense. If it's going to cause the flesh and body to be consumed, if it's going to cause you to lose your honor and lose your wealth and lose all that you've worked for and cause you to have children from other strange women all over the town, he says, the answer seems to be obvious, so he doesn't answer the question. So verse 21, he says, for the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. God is watching, and he sees all of that. So he says, and he ponders all his goings. And remember what that word ponder means? It means to weigh out and calculate. And so that's what we saw earlier when it says ponder the path of life in verse 6, because God, he ponders, he weighs out, he evaluates, and he watches all that we're doing, and he weighs it out. And God judges us according to our works. We're not saved by works, but we know that we stand before God for our works, and God is pondering and weighing it all out there. Now, verse 22. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. Aren't you glad that we don't have to answer for anyone else's iniquities? Bad enough that we answer for our own, isn't it? And that's what verse 22 says. His own iniquities take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. The root word that we get this word holden from is a word that has to do with weaving. And when you weave something and you interweave it, there's this strength to it. And the strength of sin, verse 22, the person is holden, he's trapped, he's tied up with the cords of his sin, and it holds that person down. And when it's woven together, we talk about the total depravity of man. And man is totally depraved. He's sinful. He's a sinner from the moment he's born there. And his own sins hold him down. But Christ breaks the cords of sin, doesn't he? And he was held to the cross with the cords of love, the scripture says. Now, verse 23, and we'll close out the chapter. He says, he shall die. So a person who is holding down, he's tied down with the cords of his sin, he's going to die without instruction. If he stays bound in the cords of sin, and he's been talking about infidelity here and how dangerous it is in the end. It causes people to go astray. It causes them to lose their honor and their wealth and their labor and their families. And he gives warnings against that. And he says that person who rejects instruction and despises the reproof, it says he's going to die without instruction. That is, he's going to die still being held by the cords of his sin. And what a terrible thing. But what a wonderful thing for us to have the cords of sin broken. It's what Christ does whenever he shows mercy on us. And then the rest of verse 23 says, not only does he die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Heeding instruction is so important. And God gives us instruction about many different things. Chapter 5, he's giving instruction to primarily young men to be on guard. And when God has the right woman for a man, look for one who's godly, who's the virtuous woman of chapter 31, because there are some kinds of women that can destroy a man's life, and they seek to do that. And God tells us to beware of that and don't die without instruction. Don't die with the cords of sin still holding you down. But Christ breaks those cords of sin, and he frees us from that, and he gives us liberty And we are the bride of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, we're supposed to be like that virtuous woman, that virtuous bride in chapter 31.